almost a chess game, if you will, between God and Satan. As God would do what his will was in order to further the lineage of the Messiah, we would see Satan often swoop in and try to mess up God's plan with a plan of his own, with a counterattack. Then we'd see God kind of come back, and every time God won the battle. And as we know, he wins the war. But Satan is a formidable foe. And Athaliah is one of those pawns that he used as a part of his own strategy to try to destroy the lineage of Jesus Christ. We find the story in the book of 2 Kings, known to many as the book of murders in the Bible. Indeed, it's a violent book. It's a book that many would just as soon not read because it's pretty gory. It's like every time you turn around, somebody's getting assassinated, somebody's getting their head cut off. It's a lot of that going on. Kingships would turn based on coups, military coups, individual coups, betrayal, traitors coming to influence. And we read in the story about Jehoram, and we read that as he and Ahab were on the throne simultaneously, we read about a man named Jehu, who ultimately would become a king as well, Judah. Well, after the death of Jehoram at the hands of Jehu, Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, became the king in Judah. Well, after only a year, he himself was killed. And his mother was named Athaliah. She saw an opportunity to seize power. But in order for her to gain the power, she had to do away with all the heirs, all the other heirs of the throne or to the throne. And so she wound up murdering her grandchildren. It's a pretty heinous story. It's an ugly story. All in the name of having the power associated with the kingship and the throne of the nation of Judah. Well, we read the story, as I said, in the book of 2 Kings. And if you look at verse 8 or chapter 8, you'll see kind of an introduction, and you'll see the murders and the killings that took place that leads us up to this point. And one of the things that I see in this story is kind of an almost weird parallel to some of the aspects of the Christmas story itself. Because while the story of Athaliah is a tragic one indeed, it is also a story of hope. It's a story where within the tragedy, within the corruption, within the hurts that went on, within the desperation, the desolate nature that many of the people felt during this 6 to 7 year reign of Athaliah, hope shone through. And hope shone through in a little child. So we're going to go there and take a look at that story. And I want us to look at about 5 lessons real quickly about hope. Because I believe that as many people are in this room, as are in this room tonight, and were here last night, there are many of us who need a boost in terms of hope. Many of us have had difficult years. Certainly our nation has seen a difficult year in many ways. And we wonder, where is our hope? Christmas is a time for us to be reminded of that hope, to be committed ourselves to that hope. But what are the lessons about real hope that we can see in this story? And what are the parallels in the Christmas story itself? Well, the first lesson about hope is simply this, that real hope has a long-term perspective. Real hope has a long-term perspective. You see, many of us live life in a short-term fashion. We think about today. We think about maybe tomorrow. We tend not to think so much about the long-term. We pick up the story as recorded in chapter 11 of 2 Kings, and we see that Athaliah, the mother of King Ahaziah of Judah, learned that her son was dead, and she set out to destroy the rest of the royal family. But Ahaziah's sister, Jehosheba, Now, Jehosheba was the daughter, we think, well, we know, of Jehoram, but by a different mother, a different wife. So Jehosheba, we find as an unsung heroine in this story. The daughter of Jehoram, Jehosheba, took Ahaziah's infant son, Joash, and stole him away from among the rest of the young children who were about to be killed. Jehosheba put Joash and his nurse in a bedroom to hide him from Athaliah so the child was not murdered. Joash and his nurse remained hidden in the temple of the Lord for 6 years while Athaliah ruled over the land. It says a lot about the type of grandmother she would have been for her not to have recognized that she had another infant grandchild. And so this child did not get murdered. Jehosheba, the aunt, kept him hidden for those 6 years until the timing was right for the coronation and the overthrow and ultimate death of Athaliah. Likewise, the birth of Jesus came at a most strategic time in world history. As Joash, as those who hid him and only a couple of people knew about his existence, as they had a long-term perspective about the throne of Judah and the liberation and the freedom that the nation was destined for, God had that same kind of outlook. For the Messiah came at that strategic time. We read all the way back in Genesis chapter 3 of the first prophecy in God's Word about the Messiah. The interchange between Adam and Eve and the serpent embodied by Satan has occurred. And as a part of the sentence upon Satan, God says, from now on, you and the woman will be enemies, and your offspring and her offspring will be enemies. He will crush your head. Now, would you agree that if someone crushes our head, our chances of survival are pretty slim? However, you will strike his heel. Now, a heel bruise hurts, doesn't it? But we do recover. It does. Bob knows. He got one today when he was jogging, right? It hurts, but we can recover. But from the crushing of the head, there is no recovery. Real hope has a long-term perspective. Secondly, real hope is initiated as a spiritual movement. I want to introduce you to a key person in the story named Jehoiada. Jehoiada was a righteous prophet. As a matter of fact, what we know about Jehoiada is he was a very good guy. And as a matter of fact, he became the leader of the spiritual movement in Judah that accompanied this event. In verse 4, in the seventh year of Athaliah's reign, Jehoiada the priest summoned the commanders, the mercenaries, and the guards to come to the temple of the Lord. He made a pact with them and made them swear an oath of loyalty there in the Lord's temple. Then he showed them the king's son. It's significant that the transformation that would occur in the nation of Judah under the ultimate reign of Joash would come under the influence or as a result of the influence of this prophet, this priest named Jehoiada. Now, the sad part about it is that while Jehoiada lived a long time during the reign of Joash, when Jehoiada died, Joash decided to turn back to the ways of some of the kings that previously had led the nation of Judah. He rebuilt some of the idolatrous worship places. But during the lifetime of Jehoiada, a strong, significant spiritual movement took place. Likewise, Jesus came as a spiritual figure, a Messiah who would be expected to come as a world military ruler, perhaps, but rather one who would fool the masses because he would come to bring spiritual freedom, to bring enlightenment, to bring salvation to the world. We read about that even in the book of Isaiah as the prophet tells us what God had on his mind. And we read in chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, a child is born to us, a son is given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. These will be his royal titles: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His ever-expanding, peaceful government will never end. He will rule forever with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David. The passionate commitment of the Lord God Almighty will guarantee this. Well, we see Jehoiada's influence as he told those around him. He said, first of all, this is what you must do. A third of you who are on duty on the Sabbath are to guard the royal palace. Another third are to stand guard at the Sur Gate, And the final third must stand guard behind the palace guard. These three groups will all guard the palace. The other two units who are off duty on the Sabbath must stand guard for the king at the Lord's temple. You must form a bodyguard for the king and keep your weapons in hand. Any unauthorized person who approaches you must be killed. Stay right beside the king at all times. Here's the third lesson about real hope. It must be carefully nurtured. Real hope must be carefully nurtured. There was great care taken to make sure that the young boy of 7 years old, that Joash, would be able to effectively take the throne. He was the hope of Judah. Jehoiada led a very careful plan to make sure that he would indeed be able to do that. So we see in verses 11 and 12, the guards stationed themselves around the king with their weapons ready. They formed a line from the south side of the temple around to the north side and all around the altar. Then Jehoiada brought out Joash, the king's son, and placed the crown on his head. He presented Joash with a copy of God's covenant and proclaimed him king. They anointed him, and all the people clapped their hands and shouted, "Long live the king!" Freedom was in sight. As Jehoiada carefully planned out this actual transition of government, he knew that he had one shot at making this right. And he took into account every detail. He took every precaution he could to make sure that the way would be paved for the king. Likewise, when Jesus came to the earth, it signaled the ultimate act of redemption, an act that God had himself carefully nurtured down through the ages, an act that for many people, if we were to admit, we would have said, why didn't God do this sooner? Why didn't he do this sooner? Why didn't the Messiah come sooner? Because God's time had to be fulfilled. His plan had to be fulfilled. And he knew just the right time for this transition to take place. God went for broke, doing everything he could possibly do, coming to earth himself in the form of his son as a baby to live a life and to make the ultimate sacrifice so that you and I could have the ultimate hope of a life everlasting in him. We read about that hope in Luke chapter 2. And we read about the story of Mary and Joseph. And we see that while they were there in Bethlehem, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the village inn. The humble birth to a humble mother and father. And the care, the nurture that was placed and that was taken with the Son of God. Like moms, you all have done on your own with your children as well. The fourth lesson about hope is that real hope brings about real transformation. Verses 17 through 19, I love it here. Jehoiada made a covenant between the Lord and the king and the people that they would be the Lord's people. He also made a covenant between the king and the people, and all the people of the land went over to the temple of Baal and they tore it down. The high places, the place that had symbolized the anti-Christian or the anti-godly sentiments of those who would come against Jehovah, was now torn down. They demolished the altars and smashed the idols to pieces, and they killed the priest of Baal in front of the altars. Jehoiada the priest stationed guards at the temple of the Lord. Then the commanders, the mercenaries, the guards, and all the people of the land escorted the king from the temple of the Lord. They went through the gate of the guards and into the palace, and the king took his seat on the royal throne. The demise of Athaliah and the coronation of Joash signaled hope turned to reality. Real transformation in the nation of Judah would occur. Likewise, Jesus' life itself and his associated ministry took root in the hearts of individuals and moved them toward genuine inside-out change, as it still does today. Joseph was brought in on this in a vision that we read about in Matthew chapter 1. As Joseph considered, the Bible says, all this stuff about his fiancée being pregnant and wondering, what should I do about all this? He fell asleep and an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to go ahead with your marriage to Mary, for the child within her has been conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. He will bring about real transformation. Finally, real hope energizes even the hopeless. Even the hopeless. The people who had been so oppressed under the rule of this wicked witch, Athaliah, now had real hope. All the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was peaceful because Athaliah had been killed at the king's palace. One of the beautiful parts of the Christmas story itself is the story about the shepherds. If you know anything about shepherding in those days, it was not considered one of the more glamorous occupations. Those who did the shepherding were those who were considered to be rather lower class citizens. But yet we see the angels being a people group that was one of the first to receive the news of the Messiah. And we read in Luke chapter 2, verse 20, how the shepherds went back to their fields and flocks, glorifying and praising God for what the angels had told them, and because they had seen the child just as the angel had said. Here's the question that I would like to just simply ask you this evening. Have you seen the child? Have you seen the child? And if you've seen the child, do you understand who the child is? And have you allowed the child to have his way in your life? You see, that's what real hope is all about. It is only when we appropriate that child and the mission of that child into our lives, we understand it, and we bring it into our lives, and we say, that's what I want to be. I want to be a gift to that child, myself, this Christmas. That is what the real meaning of Christmas is all about. It's the hope that the child brings. It's the hope that is represented when we give ourselves as a gift to that child. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, for the hope that we have in you. God, the hope that comes about when we see the child, when we understand the child, and when we give to the child that which he wants. God, thank you for the birth of the Savior in a humble place to a humble mother and a humble man. God, thank you for the plan that was played out that night in Bethlehem. Thank you that that plan has incredible ramifications today. Thank you for the part that we can play as we give ourselves to that child and we commit ourselves to furthering the mission of that child. For it's in Christ's name that we pray.